Hello and welcome to the third part of our GPG series here at Blind Cool Tech. My name is Christer Ekström, and what's coming up in this podcast is that we finally, after all this time, are going to do some interesting stuff with documents. I will show you how you go about if you don't have a compatible email client that can handle encryption, decryption, and verification and so on its own. Because if you don't have the Bat or Thunderbird from Mozilla or Pegasus Mail or Silfeed or some other compatible client, there's still hope, and I will show you how it's done. I will also tell you about the difference between exportable and non-exportable signatures. Why would you want to have a non-exportable signature? And a bit of other fun stuff, all coming up in this cast. I will also show you the GPG Keys program, which is something of the main part of the GPG shell suite and GPG. Here you manipulate various aspects of keys and what you do with them. You can also launch other programs from there, as you will see, and so on and so forth. So that one I'm going to show you, and we're going to go right into that menu, or program rather, now. Go out on the desktop and go to the GPG shell keys icon.
Keys marker and future.
GPG keys. We open that one.
Keys fenster. Alien less than Alien landscape net greater.
And what's coming up now, and what you heard, is a list with the various keys on my keyring. I assume that if you have many more keyrings, you can actually add those and get those keys as well on the list. But I only have one. I have a couple of people on this keyring, and these with their keys are shown here. Here are also the expired keys, those that can't work because they're too old or they put a revoker on it and so on, and you can take it from the list and so on. You can also send keys to the key servers from here. I will briefly go through the menus. There are some options in the menus that I don't quite understand, and I'm going to say that. I'm going to tell you what options that are so that you can judge for yourself if you're going to be using them or not. And so on and so forth. So let's start with the file menu.
File menu and snubs and then text. File. Text object menu. Exit snubs and then text.
And that's only got one item on it, and that is the exit. And what that does is rather self-explanatory, I think.
Yes, new object menu. New CTRL plus N snubs and then 10 markers and
we go to the keys menu with arrow right, and we land on the new key menu item, which is used to create new keys. Of course.
Export left current, all right current.
Export all, you can export whole keyring if you want to.
Import snubs and then key mark pyramid key.
Import keyring.
Update left current, all right current. From key dash server or under menu mark.
Or keys. Update all from key server. If you have a lot of keys on your ring, you can update everyone at once here.
Visit key dash server dot 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 CTR.
Visit key server if you want to look for a key that you haven't yet imported.
Export CTRL plus E until then leads.
export, and this is not available, and it's because I haven't selected any key to export. Why do you want to export a key? Well, say that you have a friend whom you want to send the key to. Then you could export it from here, because when it's not exported, it's on your keyring, and that's where it will be used. But if you export it, you can export it as an ASCII file, and you can attach it to emails, or you can copy and paste it into documents, and so on and so forth. So that's what export does.
Delete CTRL plus D.
Delete should be kind of self-explanatory, I think.
Revoke CTRL plus R.
Revoke, you can revoke a key that you don't want to use because someone's tampered with the password or something like that, so it's not safe to use this key anymore. Then you put a revoker on it, and that will prevent keys from being shown in the selection dialog for encrypting and so on. And that's the kind of neat feature that I've just discovered.
Sign CTRL plus S and Q.
Sign.
Sign left current, local right current.
Sign local is the next menu item. The one before was only sign, and the other is sign local. Now here's where you make the exportable and non-exportable signatures. Why do you want to make a non-exportable signature? And what are they? Well, when you sign someone's key, that shows that you trust the owner of the key. And how much you trust him or her, you could set in the trust database, as I mentioned before. Now, if you're really, really positive that the key that you have been given really belongs to the person that gave you the key, you could sign it, give it full trust, and export your signature with the key, and that makes the key more trustworthy if others judge that you're a trustworthy person. Here comes the web of trust thingy in, and that's kind of complicated to explain, but, well, anyway, that's that's just about how it is, how it goes. And, in what situations would you export your signature? That's very hard to say. It's about up to how paranoid you are. You could, well, if you had met the person who gave you the key in person, and you have seen his ID card or passport or something, and really verified that the person is who he says that he is, and so on and so forth. And if you've done a really thorough check, then you could export your signature. And even if you just verified fingerprints via Skype or telephone or something, I think that you could export, but that's totally up to you. If you, however, are unsure, not so sure that you want others to see your signature on the person's key, but you want to sign the key still to avoid some error messages and such that could crop up while using the key for encryption or so on and so forth, then you could use the next menu option that says sign local. That means the key is signed by you, but the signature isn't exportable, so it's not taken with the key. So when you send the key to a key server, the signature isn't sent, but it stays on your local keyring. And that's a good measure to do. You could always sign it locally. You could do that if you have gotten the key directly from the key owner via, say, email or something. I would be kind of careful if I've gotten it from a key server, because key servers are not always up to date I think. And there are certain informative bits that may be missing on key servers. So if you got a key from the key server, I recommend you check with the key owner to match fingerprints or something. Then you can sign it. Okay, that was sign locally and sign. We go on in the menu.
Edit CTRL plus T.
Edit. Here you can tamper with keys, or what you could say. Here you could add identities, new email addresses, new photos, and so on and so forth. You can change trust levels on the keys. You can add signatures, and so on. That's what you do here, and you do it directly from the command line interface of the GNU PG. So it's not done graphically, so it's not that easy. If you want those commands, I strongly urge you to read the GNU PG manual, which you should do anyways, because that's a good documentation and it's kind of thorough. And there are links to it from this shell program.
Fingerprint dot 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 CTRL plus F1.
Fingerprint pulls up a dialogue where you can check, examine the fingerprint. You can copy it to clipboard and do various things with it. And that's the finger. That's the dialogue that's used when you match your fingerprint with the key owners. And I'll just put up this dialogue to see, to let you see how the, what those fingerprints could look like. I will show you my, one of my keys fingerprints now.
File menu, key left lists, trusts, null list, key left paren, S, key S, shoot, send in, send, update, pop, add to signatures, PG, keep, user in, dot, sub, keys, dot, fingerprint, dot, 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 C.
Fingerprint.
Keys, fingerprint. Keys fingerprint for key 0x8313390. Christer Ekstrom.
Here is an old one, an old key I used to use, and it has a fingerprint, of course, which every key has.
Fingerprint. D554FB2E58SF9B7CC118BC3008 B C3839 4913 390
And this is an edit field with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 groups with 4 digits and letters in them. And those are hexadecimal values that makes up the fingerprint. And this dialogue, as I said, can be used to match fingerprints. So that here's where you go in when you got a key and you want to match it with someone.
Copy to clipboard.
And here you can copy that fingerprint to clipboard. If you want to paste it into a letter, for example, an email that you can send to the person who has the key and say, now this is the fingerprint I got when I looked up your key. Is this correct? And if it is, then you can sign it, the key.
Close.
Close. And we do that.
File menu. Key left paren.
Key S.
X dot lay imports. Update. Limit. X dot delete. CTR revoke. Sign. C. Sign left. Edit. CTRL plus T. Sign. Fingerprint. Dot dot. Sub keys. Dot dot dot. C.
Sub keys. A key can consist of subkeys, and here is a dialogue that lists the subkeys with their identity number and so on and so forth. And those you can also, those values you can also copy to clipboard and so on and manipulate in various ways from here. Subkeys.
User in dot 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 CTRL plus F3 snubs and then file of pyramid
key. User IDs. And like with key fingerprints and sub keys, there is a dialog that shows you all the current user IDs. That's all the email addresses and the things, the photos on your key.
PGP package .ctrl plus F4 control.
Here comes an option that I don't quite understand. PGP packets. But there are also data in that dialog where you can that you can manipulate in some ways. Copy to clipboard or something.
Signatures .ctrl plus F5.
If someone, including you, have signed your keys, you can use signatures. You can list those signatures in dialog. I wonder if you can could delete signatures. Well, we could always pull up this dialog to see what we have.
These signatures for key 0x8003.
Here we have some signatures.
PUB 1024 D0x8313390 B1998-04-19 expired. 2005-
It says that it's expired.
Copy to clipboard.
Copy to clipboard.
Close.
You couldn't actually delete signature from there. You can only look at it and copy to clipboard. Okay. I know.
File key left correct.
Yes.
Back in the menu.
Send up top and signatures.
Signatures.
Add to list or under menu marker.
If you have a list, and I think that a list is quite like a distribution group in an email. You can have many persons, or you can have a list of keys that you can mass encrypt to, or something like that. I'm not quite positive because I'm not using lists myself, but here's a menu that you could add this key to a list of keys.
Copy to clipboard or under menu marker pyramid.
And here are some data that you can copy to the clipboard for manipulation. If we open that submenu,
copy to clipboard
object menu user ID,
we find user ID. That's email address and name.
Key
ID, that's the identity identification number of the key.
Key left paren, long right paren.
The long version of the key identifier.
Key plus
and the whole key can be copied.
User ID.
And we're back.
Copy to clipboard.
And that is for copying and pasting in emails, documents, and so on and so forth. So that you see, there are many ways to manipulate the key data.
Update from key dash server or under menu marker.
Update from key server and a submenu with various key server addresses. And that's kind of self-explanatory. You can update a key contents from a key server.
Send to key dash server or
and here you can send your own key or others that you have signed to a key server of your choice.
Send email ctrl plus m.
Send email. What I think it does is that it attaches your key to an email that you can send to people. And that's a good feature, I think.
New ctrl plus m.
And we're back in the on the new key. Item.
Lists. That's object menu. Less than no list available. Great.
And here we have a menu called lists, and it just had one object saying that there were no lists available. And as I don't use lists, I'm not quite familiar with that feature. So we go on.
Trust. Set object menu.
Here is the trust menu where you could fiddle with the various trust values.
Trust DB export owner trust X marker.
Export owner trust. Export the trust value that you are creating when you decide that. At least that's how I gather it. when you decide that, this key can be trusted and so on, that value could be exported.
Import owner trust snub.
You can also import owner trust.
Check trust DB snub.
Check the trust database for changes and so on.
Fix trust DB snub.
If the trust database is broken, you can repair it.
Update trust DB snub.
You can update your trust database.
Trust DB information snub.
And you can even see the trust database information.
Export owner trusts.
And we're back to the start of the menu.
View view from object menu.
Here we have a view view menu, and the first few items of this tells me what things the key list displays, the list where you can see the keys and so on, as I showed you earlier. The first one is key ID, and it's checked. It says markerat, that means checked. So key ID is displayed. The size of the key is displayed. Owner trust is displayed. C trust, whatever that is displayed. When it's created, it's also displayed. And when it expires,
description.
The description of the key.
Move selection to top. CTRL plus O snub.
Move selection to top. Should be kind of self-explanatory. But I should mention with the other menu items before that, is that you could always uncheck those items to get a less cluttery list if you so desire.
Invert selection CTRL plus I snub.
Invert selection.
Select all CTRL plus A snubs and then A. Unselect all snubs and then Q.
Unselect all. I don't really know why the invert selection is there, because if you select all, you could always invert that selection and all is unselected, or should be at least.
Long key in CTRL plus F9.
You can have it show long key IDs instead of short ones. That's 16 numbers instead of 8. I prefer the short ones.
Toolbar marker and snubs and then.
It can show a toolbar.
Change font dot dot dot.
You can change font.
Key ID marker and snubs and then.
And we're back. So that's a lot you can do there.
Launch from object menu.
Here is a little menu that can help you launch various other programs from this place.
Config.
GPG config is the first.
Tools, snubs, and lens, key, marker, pyramid, key.
GPG tools.
Tray, snubs, and lens,
GPG tray. If the tray program isn't running when you launch GPG keys, you can launch it from here. This is a kind of neat feature if you need to restart your GPG tray, because you can exit it from the system tray, but you can't restart it from the system tray, of course, because the icon is not shown. And then you go into the GPG keys and use this menu.
Explorer-gnupg-home-dir.
You can use the home directory with GNUP for GNUPG using the Explorer.
Explorer-shell-home-dir.
Home directory for GPG shell using the Explorer.
Notepad-gnupg configuration snub.
Configuration file shown in Notepad.
Config snub and then.
And we're back. So there are kind of there are a couple of things you can launch from here if you want to.
Preferences. Three object menu. GPG dot 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 snubs and lens. G mark pyramid fields and lens.
Here we come to the preferences menu, and the first preference option is the GNU PG preferences. And
shell dot 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 snub.
The next are the options for the GPG shell front end.
Option dash sets.
And here you can switch between option sets. So if you save preferences to another option file, you can switch between those. And that could be good for different situations. If you have another user, for example, who has another setting file. And we're back. And the view menu... No, the launch menu and this menu are also reachable from the tray, as you may recall.
Help, set object menu, backup.
And here you have a help menu.
Backup, shell settings, left paren, registry, right paren.
Where you can back up registry settings and settings for GPG shell.
Backup key dash rings on changes, not on then say multi-running.
You can back up key rings on changes. If the key ring changes, you can back it up.
Available backups for under menu multi-run.
And here you have backups that you can choose from. I have no backups, so I can't choose from any.
Environment information dot 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 snub.
And here is environment information.
About shell dot 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 snub.
And about GPG shell.
Shell documentation F1 snub.
And the GPG shell documentation, which is partly accessible and partly not. There seems to be a lot of graphical... figures. So, I don't know.
Set subject menu. At a stale menu.
And then you have the system menu.
File.
And we're back on the file menu.
Please.
Okay, so that's the menu system of this program. And now, ladies and gentlemen, now the fun begins. Because now we're going to get practical. And I'm going to generate a new key pair. And this process is kind of funny in itself. Because I use a Swedish system, as some of you might know by now. And I also use the Swedish language in GNU-PG. The only problem is that some prompts are translated and some prompts are not, which means that in every other page it turns to English, and in some pages it has both Swedish and English, and some of them are Swedish only. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to switch language to Swedish on my HAL. Before I go into the...
Svenska.
There we are. Before I go into the key generating part of this adventure, which I'm going to do now by pressing Control M for new.
Windows system credit no CMD exceptions care, not familiar view, console trick, key lookup, key need for a Kendra.
And now I get a question what I choose, and this has to do with what kind of key I want to use. If I just want a signing key with DSA or RSA, or if I want the whole packet with encryption key and so on and so forth. I'll have to check the numbers that I have to... No, I guess I could always press... I could always press enter. Now... I'll check this out so that I am sure of what I'm doing. Okay. 1, 2, and 5 I can use. And 1 is default, and that's encryption and signing. And I think I'll choose that one, so I just press enter. Here it asks me for the key size between 1024 bits and 4096 for the encryption key. The signing key will have 1024 bits size. And as I am the paranoid type, at least when it comes to size, I'm choosing the biggest possible one. 4096 bits.
Op den echter frågan kan storleken är 496 bitar specificera hur länge nyckeln ska vara giltig. 0 lika med nyckeln blir aldrig ogiltig mindre än en större än lika med nyckeln blir ogiltig efter en dagar mindre än en större än dobbel med lika med nyckeln blir ogiltig efter en metor mindre än en större än m lika med nyckeln blir ogiltig efter en månader mindre än en större än y lika med nyckeln blir ogiltig efter en år för hur lång tid ska nyckeln vara giltig. 0.
Okay, here you got the Swedish, a long Swedish talk. He wants to know when I want this key to expire. If I wanted to expire it at all. If I were to type zero, it would never expire. If I were to type a number, it only, a number, say two only, it will expire after that many days. If I were to type a number, say 2 and the letter W, it would expire after that amount of weeks. And if I typed a number and M, it will expire after that amount of months. And the same goes for the number, a number and the letter Y. It expires after that period of years. And I'm not quite sure that I can finish the podcast in one single take. I hope so. But if I can't, and if there are delays and so on, I want to be sure that the key that I'm generating only for this show doesn't expire. So I press 3W. That's 3 weeks. And that should be on the safe side, I hope. And then we press enter. This is done from a DOS prompt, I should say. And I get a question. The key expires at the 22nd of May, and it wonders if it's correct, and it is, so I press Y. Now it asks for a user ID. It wants a name, and it will get a name. My name, and an email address. And it wants a comment, and I don't give any comments. Okay, it wants me to change name, email, or comment. It told me that I had chosen the identity with my name and my email address, and it gave me a choice of change name, comment, or OK, or email address. And there's nothing to change here, so I press OK. And now it wants me to make a passphrase to protect my secret key, and I will do so now. Blank, it says. No. It wanted me to repeat the passphrase, and so I did. Now it's generating the key, and I could sit and watch it do it, or I can type something at the keyboard, which I do now. It helps the random C generator to gather its information. This can take a while. You could also use the hard disk in some way. which I'm actually doing as I'm recording this. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it didn't take so long. Now the key is actually generated for us. And to be very sure that this is the case, I'm going to go down the list by pressing KR. And lo and behold, our new shining new key is generated for us. And I can switch language back to British English.
Record sound one.
Okay. So now we've generated a key. And now it's time to use it for something. So I have decided that I'm going to encrypt a mail, a document, not a mail, but a document in Microsoft Word. And this also serves as a means to show you that even non-compatible emails that doesn't support GNU-PG directly will be able to both decrypt and verify, as well as encrypt and sign and clear sign this these documents. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to a folder called document or documents on my D hard drive. And here we are, and here's a whole lot of documents and folders and so on and so forth. I will take a document called hamnen.doc, the port in English. This is a document that describes how the then new bus lines are going in Malmo. We had they reconstructed the whole bus line system, so they changed numbers and so on and so forth, so it got a bit confusing. And to help sort out the confusion, they kindly provided us with documentation of how the bus lines were running. So I'm going to find Hamnen.
HAL1KB chamber.
And it doesn't find it for me.
XP reg.
Why doesn't it find it? Isn't you there? Where is you?
Dark light DXT took. Den Universal Nagan Doc 28.
Okay, we'll take another document then. An article which I wrote for a couple of weeks ago. We take that one. So we open Word. I'm just using this for testing purposes.
Microsoft Word. Curvirus control. Den Universal Nagan Doc.
Document.
Okay, here we go.
Seat one.
Now, you have this document and you want to encrypt it. What do you do? You could do one of various things. You could go into the GPG tray and choose the current window option and encrypt and sign from there. You could probably select copy and paste to clipboard and use the clipboard option, or you could go into the GPG keys program itself or something like that. But the author of the GPG shell has kindly provided us with shortcut keys which you can use to actually encrypt and sign. And these two shortcut keys were described, for the grammar, in podcast number 2, for those who have listened to that. But I'll go briefly over it once more. Shortcut key number 1 is a multi-purpose key, which you will see. It's used to, in this case, clear sign the document. It can also be used to decrypt and verify the document if the document is encrypted. Whilst the other key is just used to encrypt and sign the document. I will firstly demonstrate how to clear sign a document, and you will see how it looks both from someone who hasn't got PGP's perspective and even from a PGP owner's perspective. So let's start by pressing my hotkeys that are Alt Control S for signing.
Dan Universe. Optim. Trait here sign. Chris Dirextrom less than Chris Dirextrom male com greater than 0x Ford FAF 551 1024.
And here is a selection box where I can select what keys I want to use to clear sign with. And I select my key that I made for Blind Cool Tech. Okay, and you do this by pressing space, the space bar on it. Then you tab.
Okay, knock, snub, and then melon slob for Mira.
There's an OK button.
Melon slob.
Dan Universal MC, Windows System 32 CMDX, Angelo Zemmering.
And here it tells me to enter the passphrase so that I can sign it. And so I do that.
Gap. 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 Gap.
And press enter. And pray to the gods above that it is the right key I'm using.
Dan Universal Nagan. NPG. Sitter 6.
Okay. I have clear signed the document. And what it will look like now is the following. I go up to the top of the document.
Sitter 1. Begin PGP signed message.
And first it says begin PGP signed message.
Hash. Write 160.
And it tells me what algorithm I've used to sign the message. That's RIPE MD160.
Dan Universal Nagan. Dan Endag by Virgin Avfer.
And then it's the text of the document. And in the bottom, at the bottom of this document.
Equals L Q G Z ID SIP version. Begin PGP signature.
There is the signature itself, and it starts with a line dash 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 begin PGP signature and 5 dashes after that.
Version PGV 1422 Ming W 32 Child E3.50.
And it tells me the version both of the GNU PG. It's 1.4.2 and the GPG shell version, which is 3.50. And if I were to have written a comment, here is where this comment would, on the next line is where this comment would go. And it could say something like, go to this and that website to obtain my key, and so on and so forth.
ID6 ID8 Kvevd plus MRNPGDKV69 Vera 9Y0 Act 92X on Tat 4 Neck.
Okay, this is not Swedish. I repeat, this is not Swedish. That's the scrambled part of the signature. And it's 1
2 QGM 3 YG equals LK 06
4 lines long.
End PGP signature.
And then comes the end PGP signature line. So, why on earth would I want this gibberish, as people say? Well, to someone who hasn't got PGP, it means nothing. To someone who has got PGP or GNU-PG, it presents a signature, and I will now verify this document with the same key that I used to clear sign. That's Control Alt S.
End PGP signature.
Tray
output of decrypt verify. Close.
And now here comes a dialogue with that says output of decrypt verify. And here is where the signatures are verified and so on and so forth.
GPG. Signature made 05010614136.
And I tabbed once and got into a write-protected edit box where I can see the output. And it says when the signature was made.
GPG. Using Tsaki 0x4551.
What key actually was used to sign with the key ID.
GPG. Good signature from Chris Derekstrom, less than Chris Derekstrom, mail.com, greater than.
And it says good signature from Chris Derekstrom and the mail address. And this shows that it's really me who has signed this, who have signed this text. And this comes in handy when someone like our friend who terrorized the email list recently is spoofing email. Because if you had gotten a PGP key then, if you have got a PGP key then, you can actually, just by clear signing all of your mails that go to the list, and if someone else has your key, then they can verify that it's really you who have written those letters. And if someone tries to write from your email address and doesn't have your key, well, you can be quite sure that it's not the one who has the key that writes it. I'm sorry for my bad English. Sometimes the what I want to say doesn't come through because I can't find the right words. But I hope you understand, and I hope it makes sense. So that's clear signing for you.
Copy to clipboard.
You can copy this clear signed message from here, or rather the output of the clear sign. That is the thing that I wrote in that was written in that write protected box I was in.
Close.
And then I tab to the close button.
Trade decrypted verified clipboard. Then universal nagan.
Den universella någon. The universal someone is the name of this text. And I'm not going to save this clear signed message.
Den universal nagan doc. Microsoft Word. Den universal nagan doc.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just discovered that we were in another dialogue that actually contained the text of the message that was clear signed without the begin PGP signed message stuff. That's displayed in another dialogue. And from there you can copy to clipboard and quote it and place it in mails and so on and so forth. But now I'm in the Word document, which I don't want to save, so I
Microsoft
close it and press no, because I don't want to save it.
Daniel, document, transcript.
Come on, new piece of... okay.
Is your .29kb?
Let's assume that we want to encrypt something. Why on earth would I want to encrypt something? Why would I want to scramble something? Well, it could be for various reasons. If you don't want Big Brother to read what you're writing to your loved ones, and so on, or companions, then you could encrypt your messages. If you feel more secure that way, you could always encrypt to someone that has your key, or to someone whom you have the key for. Okay, let's encrypt a file for you.
Darklight.txt anti-Kninga.
I'm opening this in Notepad. You can also use Word or anything like that. And in plain text, this would sound something like this.
I just received this email from you promoting GDI. I am already a GDI rep too.
And so on and so forth. Now, if I want to encrypt this thing, I go ahead and press Ctrl-Alt-E. That's my hotkey for encrypt.
Euro.
And sign. No. Wrong. I'm sorry.
Euro.
It should be both, of course. Control Alt B. Sorry for that. I changed my hotkeys in the PGP preferences yesterday, and I'm kind of forgetful.
Tray encrypt and sign. Alim less than Alim Landscript net greater than 0.
Here we come to a list where we can choose who we want to encrypt and sign to. This is done by pressing the spacebar on the keys or the key which we want to use to sign to. Or encrypt to, sorry. And I'm going to encrypt to my own key here.
Christa Ekstrom less than Christa Ekstrom mailcom greater than 0.
Here we are, here we go.
Melon's log.
Now it's hopefully checked. And I'm not going to... Yes, I could actually decrypt to...
Christa Ekstrom less than Christa Christa's place WS greater than 0 XB 700 and...
This one, two.
Melon's log.
It's an old thing I have. Another key, the one I regularly use, not the specially made one. So I've encrypted to two keys by pressing spacebar on them after arrowing down to them, or pressing the first letters in the name to reach them that way. And then I tab over to another list.
Christa Ekstrom less than Christa Ekstrom mailcom greater than 0.
Here I choose what key to use to actually encrypt. And I've got two of them, which are my own, which can be used. And I will use the one that I made for this show. So I press the space bar on it, and it's now selected, and I can press return.
Darklight.txt. Windows System 32 CMD exit.
And now it the same DOS prompt comes up, prompting me to enter a passphrase. And I will do that.
Gap. 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 Gap.
And press enter.
NPGP mess.
And lo and behold, the document is now encrypted. And it will sound like this when I try to read it.
Begin PGP mess.
Or when someone tries to read it that hasn't a PGP key that it's decrypted to.
Begin PGP message.
Begin PGP message.
Version. New PGV 1422 Ming W32 Shell V3.50.
And it tells me the version of the GPG and the GPG shells.
HCO 7C LC Ham D plus IC 3 DK Sweat have fork B5 the fried fab BX fork B due to XYZ. Zyrex VP3199
H8 10. Well, and so on and so forth. It is not Swedish, it's decrypted, it's scrambled. No one can read it. If they haven't got the key to which this document is encrypted, which I happen to have. So if I get, and by the way, the encrypted mails and messages have, if they are mails, they're imported into your, they're actually in your mail program, and you could, either if it supports GPG directly, it will take care of this automatically and decrypt and verify it for you. Or you could use your multipurpose hotkey from there, provided you have GPG tray running, which you should have at all times, at least while you're using this suite. You can use your hotkey to decrypt this message, and that's what I'm going to do now. So I press Alt and Control and S.
Control and S.
C. Windows System 32 CMD exit. Angelo's
Morning. And now it tells me to enter a passphrase. Well, let's see what happens if I enter my Blind Cool Tech special key passphrase.
Gap. 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 Space. Gap. Gap.
And enter.
You need a passphrase to unlock the secret key for user. Krista Ekstrom less than Krista Krista's place WS greater than 4000.
And now it tells me that I need a passphrase to unlock the secret key for the key, the other key that I have decrypted to. So I'll give them, I give the program that one as well.
Gap. 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 Gap.
And press enter.
Tray output of decrypt. Close.
And now here comes the output of decrypt verify dialogue. So I tab to the right protected box.
GPG. Failure's meaning.
Screen for that screen.
Ah. Shit. Or how? It claims that it's got the wrong pass phrase.
GPG. Encrypted with 4096. Krista Ekstrom less than Krista Krista's place WS greater than. GPG. Signature made 05010612.28.49.
Tells me about the signature.
GPG. Using Tsaki 0x4551. GPG. Good signature from Krista Ekstrom less than Krista Ekstrom mail com greater
it's
than.
A good signature from me. That's always a start.
Copy to clipboard.
Copy this report to the clipboard.
Close.
Trade
decrypted verified clipboard. Hi, first name.
And here comes a window where the message is spoken in clear form. That's not decrypted.
I just received this email from you promoting GDI. I am already a GDI rep too.
And it says that I'm representative of global domains, which I am. and so on and so forth.
Save as.
You can save this output.
Wrap.
W. You could wrap it. You could fix some kind of word wrap on it.
Plus.
And that plus sign, I don't know really what it means.
Quote.
You can quote the message. This R button. What happens if I press that one?
No signature file, signature TXT found in C documents.
Okay. It searches for some kind of signature. Oh yeah, it seems that it can add my signature. My signature from the email client to it. So it can actually make an email ready to put into the email client from this window. That was kind of cool.
Prefix.
Prefix, what can that be? I don't know, I pressed it and it just, something didn't happen. Nothing happened.
Plus.
And another plus button. And another signature. Oh yeah, it could probably put in the signature there, yes, okay.
Copy to clipboard.
Then you copy to clipboard.
Plus.
And another plus sign button.
Close.
And a close button.
On 10/1/2006, you wrote.
Okay, so what the prefix did. Okay, so what the prefix did was it put in on the 1st of May that this and that year you wrote. So it actually can construct an email from this text. And, okay, that was kind of neat. So that means that you can put in all those quotes and so on and so forth, and the prefix, as they call it, headers thing, and then you open a reply, you take out whatever quotes you have there, and you sort of copy this mail with this quoted text from this window where the decrypted output comes, and you actually get a full-fledged email which you then can edit in your email client. That was a cool feature and a discovery at the same time. Wow.
Close.
We close this window.
Save changes to clipboard.
I don't want to save the changes to the clipboard.
Dark light TXT anti-Kuninga.
And here we have the
PGP.
The PGP encrypted message again. So this is what you can do with the GPG program and the shortcut keys and so on and so forth.
Anti-Kuninga.
And we close this one.
Document.
We don't save the encrypted message. And so on. And this kind of wraps it up. This was the final part in this GPG series. I hope you have enjoyed it. If there are any questions, feel free to contact me. You can do that on my email address, which is Krister, Krister, at Krister's Place, Krister's Place, in one word, .ws. That's Krister at Krister's Place.ws. I hope you have enjoyed this series. And
record sound.
This is Krister Ekström in Sweden signing off for now. saying goodbye and have a great one, all of you.